people walk into buildings and they're by the front door and people in different places. Why the fuck? I'm...
That's exact. I told you there was going to be a moment. Hello and welcome to Grumpy Gamers. You're here listening to me, Pete, and alongside me I have Ben.
Hello.
And Eddie.
Hello.
And as usual, we'll be taking you through the news, some of the new releases, a little bit of what we've been playing. And our feature this week is a bit of a discussion on YouTube and Switch and the growth in the gaming industry.
It's not Switch.
It's not Twitch.
It's Twitch. Yes, thank you. God, that was a good one.
Get it right. But so, nice to meet you. I think about the Switch.
That's it. I think you've made it live rent-free in my head now.
Yeah.
It now occupies space.
I appreciate that you're now thinking constantly about the Switch. So, yeah, good.
I don't. I'm not a fan about it.
Subconsciously you are, so.
highest selling console of all time, is it, Ben? No, I don't know. You just keep on throwing facts out there.
Last 3 years or something? I don't know, yeah.
Last 3 years, just smashing it, just killing it.
Yeah. Boys. I mean, yeah. Right. Sure, yeah. Not a real console. But yes, anyway, we'll start with the news.
Very true.
Ben, do you want to lead us off?
Sure. Okay, this week, it's the season, isn't it, for all these events that are going on, and I fucking love it. You know I love an event. I'm the guy that will sit and watch all of them. But yes, Square Enix did their event this, their March event this week. Had a few announcements. To be honest, everything I think that they really talked about, we already knew about, and that is becoming a running trend lately. Usually furious, but not so much this time. It was okay. I think I'm becoming a bit more lighthearted. But I'll run through the big ones. Did you see that Nier Automata was coming to Game Pass? We only mentioned it last week, didn't we?
We did, yeah. It's already there, I think.
Yeah, it came out on a few days ago, 18th of March. So the big news on this one, though, outside of that event, was that the version that's on Game Pass is a better version than the version on Steam. So the Steam version notoriously has a lot of problems with it, like it's got a lot of bugs with it and stuff. And it's been review bombed to shit on Steam lately just because the Xbox version is better. And again, we were saying last week about when games come to Game Pass, when like Bethesda put their games on Game Pass, it gives them the opportunity to do a load of, like, because there's so much that goes into actually converting it so it can be on Game Pass, there's the opportunity to like do patches and stuff like that. And they really tightened it up, supposedly. And so now the version that's on Game Pass is one of the best versions of the game that you can play. So that's nice.
And the one you pay for on Steam is worse. Good. Yeah. Can see why people were pissed off about that.
I can see it. I don't know. Have you guys ever played it? I've played a few hours of it, but I found the world just a little bit too depressing for my liking. It's typical kind of Japanese RPG kind of looking game, and it got me down. It wasn't for me. But next one was that that PlayStation 5 exclusive that we saw a while ago called Project Athia, the one where which had like somebody running like over boulders and scaling these massive things and stuff. It's now been changed. I mean, that was just its original name, and it's now being called The Spoken. It looks incredibly next gen. It's coming to PC and PlayStation 5. Not coming to Xbox. The only thing I would say is that it looks amazing, like how graphically and how the character's moving. It just looks, it looks so smooth. It really, really does look next gen at the moment, and it is a year away, so let's not read too much into it. But it does look a bit barren, like the environments do look a bit barren. I think it's probably showcasing off the stuff, which is really impressive. But interesting to look up. Then they moved on to Life is Strange. So Life is Strange and Life is Strange Before the Storm are getting remasters. I love Life is Strange, really, really good game or good game series. The new one is coming out on September the 10th, and it's called Life is Strange True Colors. So that also got an announcement. Then they moved on to the Avengers, and we all were all itching to find out what's next for the Avengers game. No, we're definitely not. No one is, but they've announced that Hawkeye and Black Panther DLC is coming to the Avengers, and I think so they didn't say anything about Spider-Man, but I think Spider-Man's supposed to be coming mid-year, and you just at this point you're wondering, like, what do they have to do to save this game?
I don't think it's savable, is it?
Is Spider-Man save it?
I mean, Spider-Man's like my least favorite of them, so no. But for other people, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge franchise though on PlayStation, so that might draw some people in, but I think they're just losing a massive battle here, and it's they can't let it die. The only reason they're not letting it die is surely because it's the Avengers.
Yeah, you'd think so.
If this was any other similar game,
yeah, would have been let go. Yeah.
But
pillow over the face, you know, just shh.
Absolutely. Good night, sweet prince. Yeah, that'll be one of his. But yeah, so Avengers getting a bit more. Outriders was definitely confirmed for day one Game Pass. They did 11 minutes on Outriders. That's fucking retarded. That's ridiculous. and then they talked about the Tomb Raider trilogy. Really weird one. They're not doing remasters, they're not doing 4K upgrades, they're not doing anything like that. They've literally just put the three Tomb Raiders, of which two of them are on Game Pass, and the trilogy independently you could buy for like a tenner. you can buy this as a bundle for £20 on the PlayStation and Xbox store right now, but only for one more week before it goes up to £50. I mean,
oh wow.
It doesn't matter that this is an awesome trilogy. Like, that just seems so fucking weird.
Yeah.
So yeah, I enjoyed the reboot, and it's great to see. But you could have. It's the 25th anniversary, so they've gone, all right, let's bundle these three games together and release that. Why? Just announce a new one. Like, what? That's nothing. And then there was a Just Cause mobile game and a Space Invaders AR game. I mean, that's bullshit. So it doesn't really... Nothing really at this event, but it's just nice to have events, I think.
Okay,
just sucker for an event. So yeah. I don't know if you guys find any of that interesting, but it's just another one. We wait for the next one, I think.
Mm. I mean, Forspoken could be interesting.
Looks quite nice, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks tidy. Yeah. I mean, it looks, as I said, next gen.
Mm. And I like the movement stuff as well. So.
Yeah.
From what they showed, yeah, I think that's going to be good.
Could be huge bosses and stuff like that because of just that free running type nature. Yeah, looks.
And so basically, Shadow of the Colossus.
Yes. Yeah. And Life is Strange. I do like Life is Strange, so that was a good announcement. But apart from that, like. Fucking nothing really, is there?
No.
But
not really.
Outriders is out in a week, so.
Yeah.
That is good news. That is good news.
I'll give it a try. Never pay money for it, though.
Well, in news of events, I guess, there's also some news from South by Southwest. And the bit I wanted to pick out to highlight to you guys was the fact that Hades has won another Game of the Year.
Oh, yeah, boy.
Yeah, so South by Southwest was virtual last week from the 16th to the 20th, but the Game Awards part of it came on the 20th itself. And yeah, Hades wins Game of the Year, but oddly enough, didn't win Indie Game of the Year, which went to Deep Rock Galactic.
Really?
Yeah, which I found a bit strange.
That's like, that to me is like when somebody wins, like a 21-year-old wins like Player of the Season, but they don't win Young Player of the Season.
Yeah
exactly.
It's like, it's almost, but doesn't that kind of make a mockery of like Indie Game of the Year? Because it's almost like saying that's the little brother. And so
exactly,
you give them Game of the Year, but then Indie Game of the Year, you're like, nah, I can go over there.
The other thing for me is it also means you're getting two indie games topping the situation, so there's no actual mainstream one.
Absolutely. I mean, Hades did smash it, didn't it? I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's been so well received everywhere. Like, there's nobody that I know of that dislikes the game. That when they've played it, they've loved it. I mean, it smashed it, and it smashed the genre. So it fully deserves everything it's got.
Yeah, it really does. And I think I wanted to highlight this one in particular because I really like the way South by Southwest do their awards. So amongst the other games, the awards are things for like excellence in animation, art, and visual achievement. Or excellence in narrative, which went to Last of Us 2, Ben, as I thought you'd expect.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like that way of phrasing it.
Excellence. You just like the term excellence, don't you?
Well, I think I like it as opposed to sort of going best of, because so many of them you can't compare in the ways they have to compare them. Whereas if you just say this award is for excellence in this particular thing, and you're really focusing in, you know what I mean?
And it allows you to be almost subjective, even though it is purely subjective. It allows when people it's like that celebrating greatness kind of thing.
And
celebrating, it's like when I used to listen to Zane Lowe. Because I just embraced the fact that he is a master of his craft, but I know nothing about what he's talking about. So I mean, but yeah, it's that type of, so it means that you can't really get criticized when that's your name of award.
Exactly. Yes.
I love that.
They've played it well.
Yeah, really enjoy it. I see you got written here. They give the Half-Life Alyx got
Half-Life Alyx came in as VR game of the year, yes.
Well, that's not surprising, actually, I think, because it's probably the only AAA VR game, so it's not actually surprising. But I'll tell you what, this week, a bit of a sideline, but the PS5 PSVR 2 has been talked about a lot. It's not been revealed yet, but did you see those controllers that have been shown? No. They're like Oculus kind of controllers. You can look it up online or whatever, but they're like, you hold them in it, they like come around your hand or whatever. It looked really cool. But I think it's heavily rumored that Half-Life Alyx will be a launch game for the PS VR 2 because it was only on Oculus, I think. Okay. One of the problems with VR is that you have several different types of headset. But not every VR game is available on every VR headset, which is so stupid. But you can get like an amazing VR game like Half-Life Alyx, which I believe was only available on Oculus.
Mm-hmm.
It may have been on the other one, whatever the other one is, the Vive, but not on PS. I could be talking absolute bollocks, but
you've gone with confidence.
Gone in big. I've gone in big.
This is another one where you're going to apologise next week. Love it.
I don't think it was on PS. Could be talking bollocks, but that is definitely true. That some VR games are on some and not others. But they need to like collaborate with that shit. But anyway, PSVR 2. Obviously, I'll buy it day one because that's
of course. Yeah.
But yeah. Looks fucking cool. So yeah, Half-Life Alyx. I'll be playing that in a year's time.
On the Link of Pete story, what do you reckon the chances are of Valheim getting Game of the Year?
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, look how popular it's been.
That must depend on what they do in 6 months. In the next 6 months.
Yeah. And what else comes out, obviously. Yeah.
Recency is always a big thing with the awards as well.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're damn right.
Being early in the year is probably not going to help them out unless the follow-up stuff is awesome.
This was a late-ass game of the year, man. This was a real late game of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be interesting because that was actually something else I was going to raise in the news was the fact that Valheim's now past 6 million. players, just, and I mean, it's a million a week. It's a million new players a week, basically, since release. That's absolutely mad.
That's insane. That is actually insane for a Steam only game. Like, that is mental. Like, if a game, let's say a new Square game came out or something, and if it sold 6 million copies on the Xbox and the PS, it would be lauded. It would be heralded as one of their best games ever. To sell 6 million copies is insane.
Yeah. Again, for me, it's the fact that three people did most of the work to make that game, and it's blown up to that big. Like, that is awesome.
as we've said, like, that game is all about the potential. That game has everything for it to be so massive going forward. Yeah. I don't think, because when you get that kind of backing, like, it will continue to be up there, and it will be played for God knows how long, that people were going to play that to. But I mean, look at what they did with No Man's Sky when they had money.
Yeah, that's it. And it's been incredibly well supported ever since, hasn't it?
Yes, and this is better than No Man's Sky in terms of, this is a more complete game than No Man's Sky was when it came out.
Yeah.
It's
bit of an indictment when it's already only half a game, but
exactly. But it's got more of a path to it, and I mean, I'm excited for them because it must be so cool to be part of that small team now. Like,
I bet they're not a small team anymore.
No, they're hiring the fuck, I'm sure. But I bet all of
their
time
there's at least six of them now.
Fucking hell, 50% increase.
Wait, it'll win indie game next year, won't it? Surely. It'll win best indie game.
No, if it wins game of the year, then it obviously doesn't win indie, because apparently that's the way we fucking do it. Yeah.
That's how we.
I mean, we'll have to see how the year pans out, but I can't. It's going to be up there, isn't it? It's going to be nominated at the very.
It's going to be beaten by what we all agree is the best game of the year is Cyberpunk, obviously.
Oh yeah. And so people are going to put Cyberpunk into this year's nomination.
This is why I want excellence in narrative as an option.
What makes an indie game? What makes a game an indie game?
I think just small developers.
Is it just an independent developer?
Yes.
Yeah.
But isn't everyone independent? What makes somebody not independent if they've got shareholders? Public shareholders, is that what makes something not?
He's gone quiet because he's quickly googling it.
Yeah, I'm actually looking that up to see if I can find out.
If I didn't say that, he would have gone, well, I'm glad you asked, Ben.
if I'm going to say that, I do it straight away because I've looked it up before the show.
You would have spent that question. Yeah. Ben's going to tell us the odds and then fucking edit it again.
There's just going to be a gap, and then Ben reading woodenly from a sheet where he's written it down. The perfect answer to what indie
game is.
I'd believe that if Ben could read, but he can't. Yeah.
I cannot multitask, and reading is something that I really need to focus on. So I cannot multitask. So I can't be Googling whatever. Have you got the answer, Pete? Do we know what an indie game is?
We don't in full. I mean, all it says here is typically created by individuals or smaller development teams without the financial and technical support of a larger game publisher.
Brilliant. Great. Subjective. Lovely. Okay.
I always thought it was money.
There you go.
Yeah.
But I always thought, like, with Hades, because it's super giant or massive? Super giant.
Is it?
Like,
it's super giant.
Yeah, I always get
it's definitely like, super giant games.
What does super massive make?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Pete, look this shit up. Why aren't you googling this?
You're already on Google.
Google
up. I don't even know who super massive games are, do I?
Super massive games. We are super massive games. Say your fucking games. Little Hope. Oh, okay, they made Little Hope and Man of Medan. All right, fine. Oh, so they made Until Dawn. Ah, great. Lovely.
This would be why you're remembering them. There we go.
Also making a new game called House of Ashes.
Fantastic.
On PS5, PS4, and Xbox.
News straight from the horse's mouth. There you go. That's what our news feature is.
Anyway,
Eddie, what have you brought for us?
I've just got a little small one because it appeals to me. There are more of us playing Rainbow Six Siege on Steam now than ever before. So Rainbow Six Siege has just topped its highest ever Steam concurrent user peak 6 years after its initial debut. Thanks to the perfect storm of a free-to-play event and fresh Year 6 content, kicking off with the newly released Crimson Heist. Yesterday, the shooter clocked up to 201,053 concurrent users, its highest peak, according to SteamDB. The reason why I brought this is because when I bought Steam, the thing that appealed to me so much was that it said it was a game for life. It said because they are always going to do updates, it's literally a game that you can nonstop play. Now, obviously, that hasn't worked out for me, because I stopped playing it after around 6 months. But I love that. I absolutely love the idea. You know what I was really upset with? That I wasn't into World of Warcraft. And when I did try and get into it, I wasn't really interested because I envy though all those people having such a great game with their friends for such a long time.
I agree.
So I do think it's a great game. It's far too competitive for me. It's not a game that you can play on a hangover. Let's put it
Are we still on World of Warcraft or Rainbow Six Siege?
Sorry, Siege. I love it when games do this. And my God, have they really kept their word here. 6 years on, and they're bringing out great content, and they've now hit their highest concurrent users. So,
they reinvented it, didn't they? Because it came out, and it wasn't great.
Yeah.
And then... Yeah. And then they totally reinvented it. And now it's, in a lot of people's eyes, I mean, probably more refined folks than myself, they view it as the best shooter out there.
Certainly the most competitive, I would say. You've always got Warzone lurking over you these days, don't you?
But Warzone, you can play, like Rainbow Six Siege, you can't, I couldn't try to get into it, I don't think. I think it would be too hard to get into.
Yeah, it's extremely hard.
At least with Warzone, you can get into it from a standing start and you'll be okay.
And the thing I've noticed with like to compare it on ease of play and enjoyment is in Warzone you can literally put your headphones around your neck and literally just jump in, have a shooty bang bang. You won't do well, but it's still fun, you enjoy it. With Siege, you're waiting there for 3 minutes and you'll get peaked at instant death, and you're like, if you're not concentrating, if you're not on top of your game, you're dead. As simple as that. And you won't enjoy it. Then you'll get messages saying, why don't you kill yourself? Because you've just let the whole
time. Ah, lovely community. Yeah, great. Nice.
Yeah. I actually stopped playing because I got banned from for a day of playing. I got a message through saying you've been banned for a day. And it's because these guys were being so toxic to me that I just kept on running up and pissing them off. And then they reported me. So you
were being pure toxic back.
Toxic crime. I like that.
I think they were sending me messages, something like, you know, you're so shit, why don't you kill yourself? And I just kept on running up to them, like putting shields in front of them and stuff. So, yeah, fuck them.
And that's how Eddie stopped playing Rainbow Six Siege. That's you raise a good point, Eddie, because I am so jealous of people that play the same game, not every day, but they've got this game that they will always play, and it's a multiplayer game. I'm so jealous of that, but I don't have the commitment to just play like one game a lot. You know me, I love to play new games every week. I'm all into that, and I've yet to come across a game that I think I could dedicate. I could play this every. I mean, I have been playing Animal Crossing every single day.
Jesus, I don't know how you can do that.
It's so shit.
It's a great game.
It's amazing.
It's a great game.
It's not a great game.
No, Eddie, it is not a good game, but it's a great game.
Have you heard people are trying to get it banned because it encourages mixing lots of species on one island, which of course after the pandemic is not a good thing.
I don't know what that means.
Who has time to do that? And why is that time not better taken up?
this is people going, it's not a real game, we need to get it banned.
And I'm all on board with that, but get a good reason.
I believe it started by someone called Peter. I don't know.
No, it'd be aiming for Warzone first, lads.
I'm playing that game. I even went to where I've built my like spa area, and I've popped in my two vending machines and stuff. I even got out the camera on the game, did a pose, and took a picture of it. I need to turn this off now. Need to turn it off.
Moving swiftly on to new releases, then.
Yeah, that's wise. New releases. Okay. Fall Guys Season 4 comes out on the 22nd of March. That's cool. I mean, we all know that Fall Guys is going to be coming to the Switch and to Xbox, and hopefully, fingers crossed, Game Pass, day one. Come on. Then in the summer, that would be good. So they'll probably be on Season 5 by then. But Fall Guys is still going strong, isn't it?
It really is, yeah.
Still going strong. I think it will get a new lease of life when it comes to Game Pass.
Yes.
I really hope it does, because as much as I'd... If it doesn't come to Game Pass, I'll buy it on the Switch. But if it...
even if it does, you will anyway.
You know what I was thinking today? Like, if you've got the... If you've got Disco Elysium already, then you get the free update for it, which puts all the speech in, and it's like the newer version of the game and everything.
Yeah,
I have that on my PC. And just before doing the show tonight, I was thinking, am I going to just get the free upgrade and sit in this chair and play it with my controller? Am I going to buy it and sit 2 meters away and play it on my TV? I don't know the answer yet.
That's not a fine, sure. That's how this is.
Do I double dip? Anyway, Fall Guys Season 4, 22nd of March. Immortals gets its first DLC, Myths of the Eastern Realm. That's on the 25th of March. And then we have one that's so anticipated after what can only be described as one of the worst demos in the last 10 years. Balan Wonderworld is out on the 26th of March. This game was actually quite anticipated. So on every console...
By who?
It's got some... I forget the guy that... It's a Japanese developer or something that is like the guy behind it, and... People have been quite hyped for this game. Then the demo came out about a month ago, and it was the worst. I've watched it be played. It's just the worst pile of shit. And now people are buying. I think this will sell quite well because people are buying it to just have a copy of it, not even to play it. Just have a copy because one day that'll be worth money. It looks terrible. Yeah. Anyway, if you're interested in that. 26th of March. Then there
really
is...
sold it to them.
Yeah. 25th of March, there's a game called Black Legend. Now, I hadn't heard of this. It's on everything. It's on everything from Switch to PC. 17th century turn-based RPG. Looks really good. I was looking it up yesterday. The title got me. I thought, well, this sounds... You know when you got certain titles and the next one that I'm going to talk about, like... You go like, that name sounds cool, so you investigate. And then I was going through it, and it looks like it's got some potential. It looks like it's got that style of turn-based combat that we saw in the recent Nintendo Direct with it does look like that Hoffa game.
It looks a lot like it.
Yeah, and surely like Divinity as well, isn't it?
That's what I was going to say. That's exactly the type of combat that I was trying to describe. I couldn't work out what game to talk about. it's that type of combat. But it looks quite good. I'm interested to see what the reviews are like, because there's no early access, there's no early reviews or anything that I could see. So it's coming out in a few days and nobody's really talking about it at all. So, if we can get a glimpse of that for next week, that would be good to hear about it, I think. But next one is a horror game coming out on the PlayStation and Xbox called Evil Inside on the 26th. I'll just read the little synopsis here. Bear with me because I'm not a great reader. First person psychological horror game. After the death of his mother and the arrest of his father, Mark decides to contact her using the spiritual board, but it fades away, and here is where it all begins. Mark will face his greatest fears to discover the truth. Don't know. I know that's not part of the description. My thoughts on the don't know if this looks good or shit. But yeah, I saw some like trailers for it, and the actual little synopsis of it, and then it looked like the well from The Ring, and I was like, okay, this, so it could be shit, or it could actually be quite a good little psychological horror. I'm eager for reviews on both of those last two, Black Legend and Evil Inside. I'm not a great horror game fan, but I play a few occasionally just to get in there. It's not a great scary game, I think. And the last is the big one. So the AAA game for the week is Monster Hunter Rise. That comes out on the 26th, and that's on the Switch. So it's the more hardcore Monster Hunter game, the hardcore, the softcore one or whatever, the PlayStation 4 version, which is Monster Hunter World. But this is the more hardcore version that's on the Nintendo platforms and the Switch. And it looks great, but it's not going to be for me. I'm not going to get involved, but it's going to sell like hotcakes. People fucking loved it. And they're even releasing new Switch for it, I think.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
And a new controller. So, yeah.
Cool.
They're all the releases for the week, but it's hotting up now. It's starting to hot up.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
I feel like we say this every other week, and then the next week is a massive down note. But yes, I do like this week's.
I'm an optimist, baby. Every week's a good week.
Yeah, as long as it's got one good game, it's a great week.
Fair. We discovered that last week when there was literally one good game, and Ben said it was the best week ever. So yeah. And it was actually a shit game. So yeah.
Don't ruin what you've been playing.
Well, there you go. That leads nicely on.
I was going to say, speaking of, you may as well carry on, Eddie. Let us know what you mean.
Yeah, so I've been playing Empire of Sin, which we've talked about a couple of weeks in a row now, haven't we?
Mm.
The reason why I played it is because it is now on Game Pass. So if you've got Game Pass, yeah, download it. Play it for free, baby.
God.
Or after this review, maybe not. So the developer are Romero Games, but it's more importantly published by Paradox Interactive. It was released in December 2020. That's crazy. It couldn't have been, right?
No, it was fairly recent, and what's surprising is that it's already on Game Pass.
Yes, not a great launch, I imagine.
It's not a great advert for the game.
Yeah,
because it wasn't. Do you remember? It wasn't long ago where it was one of our first shows where we covered a Nintendo Direct where it was shown, and I was like, "Oh, that game looks really cool."
Very true.
I was
really
excited for that. Yeah, I was really excited for that. Let's put it this way. So me and Ben, we were upset about the reviews, weren't we, Ben? That's why we kind of got turned off to it. And we were kind of excited to hear that it came to Game Pass. And this is good and bad for me, really. Bad because it's a bad game. It's shit. It's so lacking of any depth. It's beyond belief. It's
failing to see a lead up to good here. But yeah, do continue.
I mean, the developers of the game won't see it as a good point, but I'll stick with my negative points at the moment. Zero depth. On the surface, it looks great. Like you manage these places. Oh, you build up resources and you trade and you fight. And it sounds great, but it's not. It's fucking nothing. Literally nothing. You know what this I'm comparing to? Is Gangsters 1. Now, I don't expect either of you to have played that or even heard of it. You know what? I'm just going to... Gangsters...
Yeah, I haven't. One. I haven't.
Yeah. No one has. But let's look at what year it came out. Gangsters 1 is a better game than this. In nearly every single way. It was released in 1998. So to lose to a game that was released in 1998 from a developer who had no money... You've got to ask some serious questions. Everything in this game that you do is leading up to a fight. That's what pisses me off about this game. It is XCOM. It's XCOM. But outside of XCOM, where you do the base stuff, instead of that, you're doing gangster stuff and you're like, looking at your thing. And there's no management. Didn't they advertise it as like a management or gangster management? There's no fucking management.
I heard that when it gets to the end, when it gets more towards the end, that it becomes a bit more, it becomes a bit unmanageable, that there's too much to be looking after. Is that...
I don't think that's Eddie's experience.
I ain't getting that far, let's put it that way.
Yeah, what did you find about the XCOM like combat? Was that any good?
It's fine. It's just like every single other game. But you know what? It's worse because like I was a huge fan of Wasteland 2. Massive favorite. Yeah. Top 3. So, you know, realistically like top 10 games to anyone else.
20.
Top 20, yeah.
Top 2 games of all time.
Yeah. It's my favorite game of all time.
Yeah.
But like even with this, it's bad because you go into a building and you're fucking surrounded and you're like, hang on, that's not how people walk into buildings. So like when you join a battle and you walk into a building, you find yourself literally surrounded. I mean, that's not how people walk into buildings. I do not walk into a bank and find myself in the fucking vault. That's not how life works. So it just, I mean, every other game does it better with the same concept. I know what they've done. They've gone, everyone likes XCOM combat. Oh, let's follow that suit. But I mean, with so many games bringing out the same kind of combat, you've got to bring something new to the table.
I tell you what, Eddie, I downloaded it. I didn't play much of it. I just did like the intro bit. And yeah. I enjoy XCOM style combat games.
Yes. Yes.
I thought it was janky. I didn't think it was very good. I thought, I don't know. I thought they did it badly, but that could just be, and I didn't have enough experience of it. But something like Wasteland immediately has good, you get it. Like it's good XCOM style combat. Even like the new Gears Tactics game, Mario and Rabbids, like they're all good. This seemed a bit more like, it was almost like it wasn't clear cut, and I couldn't view things properly. I couldn't like try and get a good view of stuff and whether I'd be hit or whether, and I'm sure that is all there to be seen, but I just it wasn't so intuitive. I didn't think
no it wasn't, and like the UI isn't as good. It's just everything, like you're always in mega close combat. It's just badly done. And I wouldn't have minded, because if I've got a good management system, I can forgive a lot of games for a lot of things. Gangsters 1 and Gangsters 2 had a lot of problems with them, but because their management system was so good, I really fucking enjoyed it. I mean, you look at Football Manager, I have sunk thousands of hours into Football Managers, and they're pretty fucking basic. But I forgive it, because the management system is flawless. I mean, some would say the best... Some would say that. But also, Ben, what did you think about the characters? I found the character writing some of the worst fucking character writing I've ever experienced. You know what's annoying? I was only going to talk about this for 30 seconds. Here I am fucking shouting down the I mean, not only are they all cartoon as fuck, I mean, you've got a gangsters, which I believe, Ben, am I right saying it's set in New York in the 1980s, right? And everyone is a fucking cartoon character. The quirky little thing is going on. What the fuck is that?
So I chose a character, and I didn't mind the writing so much. It basically was two brothers discussing their other brother who'd been, like, nicked for murder or something. I was playing this one brother who was saying to the other one, look, we've got to help our brother. He's our brother. He's our blood. And the other one was like, nah, fuck him. Like, he's a loser. This will do him good to let him learn, like, things have consequences. And then you go through the conversation... And that was the stance. The both stance was like, okay, I want to help him. No, I'm definitely not helping him. And then at the end, the other guy like that you're talking to just totally flips and goes, okay then. And you're like, no, what? There's no writing that has led to this point. that's not happened.
You're really selling this game to me, guys. I like it.
If that was indicative of what was to come, then. But I get what you're saying. I didn't find any of the mob bosses, because you get to choose like from so many to start, don't you? And some of them had good characteristics. I basically went on to Google and said, which is the best one to choose? Who's the best starter?
Right. Yeah.
It came up with a list. It came up with a ranking, and I went through, read the different profiles, and picked one. But nobody was likable. Oh, yes, let's be that guy. The guy that I chose, like, he didn't look cool.
Yeah.
I just basically chose him for his stats or, like, his special ability, which is throwing knives. So I don't know. Like, I think that's the type of game that would have so much potential, but turned me off.
I have no idea how when they've got so many good games that are gangster related, and they were going down the XCOM route and they were going down the management route, they could have looked at so many other games and taken the good things from each one of them and made it their own game, but they haven't. They've literally gone XCOM. What about outside of combat? Let's just make it so it looks like it's all leading to the next battle. I mean, it's fucking lazy development. Lazy. It's awful. But here's the good thing. Stunning. Right?
Yeah.
Here's the good thing.
Go on, then.
It was on Game Pass.
It was on Game Pass.
So this is the very first time. I know I've criticized to both of you how much Game Pass upsets me, the fact that I don't feel value in the games and therefore I don't play them. This is the very first time where I put it down. My adrenaline was running because it was such a shit game that I wanted to punch my computer in the face. And I went, you didn't pay anything for that. You can put it down. You can only talk about it for 10 seconds on the pod, else you'll get angry and your blood pressure will get and you have to go to the hospital again. And then that'll be the end of it. But that's what's brilliant. I don't need to play it. I don't need to feel guilty about it. You know what's weird? I do still feel guilty, but I'm sure that will go away. But that's great. It's done. I haven't spent any money.
Yeah.
I can walk away and fucking hell. This is the first time that I think Game Pass is a great thing.
If you paid money for it, though, you'd feel guilty, but you would end up playing it more. But
I would. I would. But you're right. I would double the hours that I play.
But sometimes you just know it's not a good game.
Yeah, it's a bust. You know it's a bust.
Yeah.
Walk away.
But you're right. I would have played it for double the amount of hours, but I still would have walked away going, I'm very disappointed. I'm very upset that I've just spent that. And I for some reason, I have a weird thing where I feel guilty about spending. But me and Pete were talking about it this week. I can go down the pub in the middle of an afternoon and chuck away 40 quid, not even walk away drunk, and I'll walk home and go, that was a really good day. But if I spend 15 quid on a computer game that I play 20 hours of, I'll go, for the next week, I will be like, oh, you idiot, why did you do that? And for the next fucking 12 game purchases, I'll go, are you sure you want to buy this? Because just remember, you wasted £12 on that last game.
I'm so with you, because it's that weird thing in life where you go like, I'll order a takeaway a week, usually. And I'll spend 15 quid on that. But then in the same, I'll see a game and I'll go like, should I get that? It's like, Ben, you just waste money on things like all the time. Like, why just spend it?
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, just spend it could kind of be your slogan for gaming in general.
Yeah.
If you're having that moment, that says a lot. But as I said to Eddie at the time, I think it comes down to the fact that when you know you've got some banker games in your library, that one where you swing and miss on a new purchase really annoys you, because you go, I could have been playing Warhammer Total War 2. I could have been playing RimWorld. I could have been playing whatever it is. Yeah. You know the games that you can just infinitely replay.
Yeah.
And you've just instead spent money on a game that you're like, I've got 2 hours out of this and they feel wasted already.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so, there is guilt there for that reason.
So that's actually the last time we'll be talking about that game on the pod, which is a sad time because we've talked about it a few times.
I know. Yeah, and it had appetite. I mean, Murder City of Gangsters was I fucking loved that game. I chucked hundreds of hours into that. I chucked hundreds of hours into Gangsters 2, and I probably chucked multiple hundreds of hours into Gangsters 1. I've still actually bought it on CD, even though it's 1998. I've got it down here next to me, Gangsters 1 and 2, on, you know, Sold Out. Do you remember Sold Out, that company that did old shitty games? God, yeah, I've got that. I've got it next to me, even though I haven't had a CD disc in a CD drive in about 3 years. But there we are. It's a fucking disappointment.
Yeah,
but if you've got Game Pass, give it a try.
it might not disappoint you as badly.
I haven't heard one positive thing about it.
No. I even went on to Steam after I played it for a bit to get it off my wish list, and the reviews are fucking bad. Bad.
Yeah. Bad game.
But what have you guys been playing?
Shall I go next?
Yeah, why not? Lead us off. What have you been on?
I have been playing the same game that I was playing last week, Remnant from the Ashes. I completed it.
So it held you. Nice.
Yeah. Oh, man. This game was brilliant. so fucking good. So it's on PS Plus. I played it on PS Plus. It's also on Game Pass. I was going through Game Pass library the other day. It's on Game Pass. It was previously free on Epic. You have to work so very fucking hard to pay for this game. You do not need to pay. It's everywhere, and it's so fucking good. Like, and the main takeaway that I would say is that this last week I described it as like a Souls-like game with guns.
Mm.
No, it's not. It's a first-person shooter RPG.
Okay.
But one which is so unique to a genre. It's not like Doom, like when you could argue that, you know, you're leveling up and you're getting character traits, or you're leveling up with gun stuff. It's not like that. It is truly a storyline driven, character driven, like developing your character, just like Dark Souls kind of thing, but it's an RPG. It is that. But it's a first person shooter. I'm struggling to think of any other game which really is a true first person shooter RPG. So it's so fucking unique, and they've done it so right, and I don't know how they did it so right, but it was. I mean, I looked up that there's a prequel that came out after it, which is on the Switch, and it was a VR game as well, but it's a melee game, so it's a lot like Dark Souls, but I think just an easy fucking Dark Souls. But it's not a shooter, and the thing that makes this so unique is that shooter element, the shooter RPG. But so following on from what I was saying last week about it, as you get really into like the last third of the game, previously I was saying about the bosses that they weren't that difficult, and I was like, okay, well, the game is fun. The game was more fun than difficult, which is not something you'd associate to necessarily a Souls game, but
not at all.
A Souls type game, but the bosses come thick and fast in that final third, like they really, really do. And I think it was three or four bosses in the game that caused me real issue. What I was saying last week was that the one of the real good quality of life things is that you always get a save point, a checkpoint just outside the bosses. So you haven't got massive boss runs to go in there. You just retry the fight and just see what works, what doesn't, and learn the patterns, learn how to do it. But they were a real, real challenge. They were heart pumping moments, like beating them after loads of attempts and tiny bit of health left. And you're like, fuck, or like you've just done it. You're like, that is so good. Like one of them was the Moonlight Butterfly in Souls, if anybody knows knows that. There were two of them, one on either side of a bridge. I sent you a video of it, Pete. Like, it was just, I don't know if you watched, but it was fucking so difficult. But the feeling, the elation of doing it, you're like, oh my fucking god. And like, to like going back and it's choosing the right time to level up your gear, like I was talking about last week. You don't want to just level your gear because it levels the world up with you, but you choose to do it strategically at a point where you're struggling. When I'm struggling, I will level up. So I, on that particular boss, I leveled up my gear quite a bit, and so I could really challenge the boss and be better at it. But that made me suffer when I went to the next world and it was higher levels. And then when I got to the end of the game, to on the final boss, I was really struggling, and I didn't have the materials to really upgrade that much. So I had to, for the first time in the game, I went back and I replayed one of the later areas to grind for some material.
Okay,
but it was just so fun though. And I found a new area and a new boss. And I was like, so I was like, oh, I've missed stuff along the journey. It doesn't make you feel like you have, but you've obviously missed stuff. So there is replayability even within your world without re-rolling and doing it again. Honestly, the combat was just so fun. Like when I call it grinding for materials to level up my guns, I wasn't grinding. I was just having a good time. I just took an hour out to just have a good fucking time. Yeah. The story element of it is okay. Like you follow it, you enjoy it. It's a nice element to it that they are trying to incorporate some kind of lore behind it. But ultimately, it doesn't have that same pull of a lore of like Skyrim type games or Dark Souls or anything like that. So I'm not trailing. Like I remember when I played the Souls games, I'd literally whilst having breakfast be just fucking scrolling through YouTube at like 30 minute videos explaining one boss's backstory, you know, like because I was just so into it. I just wanted to know everything about the world. It's not the same in this, but they're trying. But it's just the actual gameplay is so addictive. What they could do better, there are a few points that I wish were a bit different. You basically choose your guns from the start. You can change your guns to the, so if you chose, let's say, a shotgun, but you wanted a machine gun or something, you could do that. You could change that. You could just buy the other one and level it up or whatever. But basically, the guns that you start with, you use those for the whole game, pretty much. And the armor that you have, I kept the same armor throughout the whole game and just leveled it up. And the mods, that you get different mods for your weapons. You attach a mod, and then once you've like shot people a lot of times, you can use this mod. I used the two mods of one mod, which was turning your rounds into fire rounds. So I used that on my like coach gun, which is like a mid-range shotgun. And I used the other mod that I used on my pistol was basically you just put a healing circle around you, and you can heal that way. So during a mid fight, you're getting fucking blasted. You put that healing circle around you, then you can basically just continue fucking mowing people down and healing at the same time.
A gun heal you would be bloody good, wouldn't it?
You get so used to your particular mods that I don't want to change them. And even when I got to the end of the game, like I was last boss, I was like, oh shit, maybe there's something else that I could do. I went to the mod person. I was like, no, like I don't. These two are the ones that they're the best ones for me. So I wish, like, because one of the best things of, I said it's not like a Souls game, but I'm doing that comparison. One of the best things about a Souls game is...
You're doing it all the time.
Yeah, constantly.
One of the best things about a Souls game is changing weapons and going, because every weapon is completely different.
Yeah.
Bit like Monster Hunter in that regard, that type of thing. It's like weapons perform so differently, and it really is something that it's your playstyle. Like if you like using the Uchi Katana, it's because that's your playstyle. This one, because I didn't really change up my guns at all throughout the whole game, I just used my guns because it felt so fucking good to play with. But you know, it's I'm urging anybody who's heard of this game or likes the sound of somebody saying that something is a really, really good fucking game. This game is free everywhere. And it came out in 2019. It still looks brilliant. And it's not a hard game. There are hard moments, like, but you feel so achieved. Like you feel like so much satisfaction after beating these like bosses. But it's not a long game either. Like I did it in 14 hours. So
oh wow, yeah.
Now I looked up.
Did it in 14 hours. I'd say other people like 8 hours. That's pretty
good. To be honest, like Souls games or whatever, I am relatively decent at.
A bit of a brag there, eh?
I know, it's a weird flex, that one. But so
when you put as many hours as Ben did into Dark Souls, you end up okay.
You end up being okay at Dark Souls games. Well, it's a mentality thing, isn't it? Like dying, just and learning from it. But I looked up on how long to beat, and it was like 17 and a half hours, like average play time. I think I was... at the last boss at, what was it, 12:45 or something, but then I fannied around like fucking get leveling up and stuff, which I probably didn't need to do in the grand scheme of things. I just needed to do the boss more and learn the boss, but I couldn't be arsed. I thought I was underpowered, so I went and leveled up. But I'm urging anyone who's got any inclination for these types of games but is put off by one, people like me saying it's a Souls like, don't worry about that. It's a fucking shooter. And two, this is just, it's such a massive entry point to RPG shooters. Like it does it so fucking well. I just don't know any other games that come close to it in that niche, very niche genre. But I'm starting to think that this should be a genre that people do.
Fair.
And apart from that, I've been playing Animal Crossing, obviously.
Obviously, which we've already covered. Yes.
I'm all in on that one, so I'll play it later.
I bet you will. I bet you will.
Okay. I shall.
Yeah. Before you take the opportunity to say any more about it, though, let's move on to what I was playing, which I was very glad to hear both of you say nice things about World of Warcraft slightly earlier, because I've been playing Classic.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean... Nice. I don't think I'm going to be playing too much more of it, if I'm honest. But
that's a turnaround, right?
But it's not because it's a bad game. It's it's really good. Like, it taps into the feels.
Okay, I'm on a roller coaster ride right now. Where do I go? Peter, I want to give you my energy.
Come on.
It's really good.
It is really good. The atmosphere is still really good. And my God, it's active. Like, there were so many people on the server. Like, Stormwind, which is the main alliance hub, is packed, constantly packed with people, which is really good to see, considering the fact that this is a game that was first launched in, like, 2005.
Sounds amazing. I bet you want to play more.
Well, this was the thing, and I would have done if I felt like I had the time or inclination to get stuck into the social side of it again. Because that is what makes the game so good, especially Classic, where almost everything is 100 times easier in groups. Like, quality of life as a single player in World of Warcraft Classic is pretty much non-existent. A single enemy is a fight that will take some of your health off. Like, one single mob will probably get you down to half health at the beginning. And then you've got to sit and heal. And if you're not one that can heal yourself, you've got to eat food or bandage or whatever else. And it's then you watch two people drifting past and they just annihilate stuff. And three or four groups obviously do much better again. And you're like, yeah, that is how you're meant to play this. But finding a guild, finding a whole social group you actually want to play alongside, that's a task.
And then committing the time, because once you've done that, you're in it, aren't you?
Exactly. And that's the thing. I'm not willing to find another guild, and none of the ones I used to play with are still active, really. So it's just a bit of a dead end there, because I got to about level 20 over the week. I haven't been putting in too much time, but enough to go through. But yeah, half the time is travel time. And without people to chat away to through that, it's much less entertaining than it could be.
What level do you need to be to do the new DLC?
60.
Oof.
Well, 58 technically, but really you want to be 60 to go through the Dark Portal and do the Burning Crusade when that drops. And I know you can do it in quicker time and all the rest of it, but for someone coming back to it after quite a few years, it's slower than retail World of Warcraft as well. You could pay the money when it comes out, and depending on how much they charge, it's an option.
You'll pay the money.
Because Burning Crusade is fantastic, so it's well worth it. And actually, one of the best things Burning Crusade does is balances the classes. So as you were saying about with the guns, Ben, and the weapons in Dark Souls, defining the way you play, it's your class and your spec within that that defines how you play. And I was always, in the Burning Crusade and in Wrath that followed it, I was a Retribution Paladin. And my God, they're crap in Classic. They are so weak. Like, you still got some of the best long cooldown moves in the game, but everything else is just rubbish. You do weak damage, your heals are weak, and you can't really take as much damage as you'd expect to either for someone who can get to plate armor. And whereas you watch like rogues or warriors or warlocks just killing everything really fast. And that gets balanced massively for the Burning Crusade, and even more so for Wrath. So, but a bit disappointing to go back into after all this time and be like, oh yeah, I just picked a crap type of character. That's not cool. That's not ideal.
So did you persevere with that character to level 20?
No, I moved on to a druid because I'd always wanted to do one back in the day and never did. So I thought it was worth playing one for a bit. And they are fun, and they're a lot stronger in Classic than a paladin is. So yeah, it was good fun. But that's the thing. It's a game you can just pick up and play for a bit and then leave again if you've played it before, because it's £10 for a monthly subscription. You pay that, it cancels. Nothing ventured, nothing gained, as it were. So, yeah, I may well drop back in when the Burning Crusade is here, depending on how much it costs.
And pay the money.
Depending on how much the level boost costs, yeah.
Well, that's it's good that, yeah, it's nice to go back sometimes, but sometimes when you go back, it's not how you remembered.
Yeah, and I mean, it's got to be said, the graphics and the textures are dated, like obscenely dated, but otherwise if you've played it before, you'll still love it. And how active the servers are is awesome to see.
That's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I think it is still of the MMO RPGs, I think it is still the most active one overall, and Classic is clearly a big part of that given how many people were there.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, going back to old games, I mean, I can't wait for the Diablo 2 remake.
Mm, of course.
You know, they're really those types of games. They're bringing a lot of people back to them, and also this fan favorites, aren't they? And Diablo 2 will be exactly that.
Exactly. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, as long as it doesn't end up like movies where they're just constantly remaking franchises.
Well, they can't though, because like, I find it so surprising because I'm a 33-year-old and I get excited, but a lot of 33-year-olds aren't playing video games, or they're not. So at some point they can't bring back the franchises that I grew up with because I'm just too old. Yeah, like, I'm not
when
the
you're
market.
A 65-year-old and they're bringing back Diablo 2 for the eighth time.
Exactly. I'm not the target market there. And these games that we remember so fondly, it's crazy that they are still like, it's still, the world goes crazy. Like Diablo 2, it's crazy that the world goes crazy when that is announced, because you're just thinking, who are, like, so you've got 20-year-olds or whatever, surely they're like, oh, fucking hell, do we have to have another one? Like, do we have to go back in time yet again?
Yes, they do.
So, yeah, I wonder how long they'll continue bringing out these old ones. But for the time being, I think it's great. So I think that's the perfect time for us to be moving on to this feature. Our feature for this week is talking about the popularity of YouTube and Twitch and the like, and their role in growing the gaming industry. I just think over the last few years it's blown up, and I know my gaming news and what I do in my free time when I'm not gaming largely revolves around YouTube and Twitch. I mean, first question, where do you guys get your gaming news these days?
Well, from this podcast, obviously. No.
Yes. Shameless plug.
Nice. Nice.
Self-plug.
Shameless plug on the podcast, though. So. Know,
is this time to do the socials? Contact us at PlugBeGamers.
If you've got this far into the show, you're already in. And peace out.
You're already in.
Exactly. Okay. I'd say most of it comes from websites, but a bit comes from YouTube.
I'm all about Eurogame already, and then I go off other things if I see something interesting.
Mm. For me, I watch YouTube to get basically all of my gaming knowledge and podcasts.
That's unfair. Yeah, sorry, I do listen to podcasts as well, and I guess I do get some of that. But even then, don't you like checking up on it? Because I hear things that I'm like, that doesn't sound right, and then I look it up and it's often not right. It's just their opinion that's been chucked into a news story. So yeah.
My main podcast that I listen to is are my favorite YouTubers.
Okay.
So they have a Sunday podcast where they where it's probably five or six of my favorite YouTube video game like people. They all talk on the same one, all on the same podcast, and that's where I get most of my gaming news. Now I also listen to like the Computer Game Show, but that's more that fun. You listen to that as well. It's a fun one, isn't it? It's like you know, you enjoy the guys there, and you enjoy their opinions because you like them as people.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's part of it, really. I think YouTube and Twitch. So, if we talk about YouTube for a second, there's such a diversity in type of within the same sphere of gaming what can be offered. So you've got news, you've got reviews, you've got let's plays, you've got all these different methods that you could use YouTube for to gain information about games. Like, look at Worth a Buy and people like that, Eddie. I mean, you watch a lot of reviews, don't you, on YouTube?
Swear by them, yeah. And not even to the point of being informed, but more for enjoyment as well. Like, I've watched so many of his reviews that I have no intention of ever playing the game because it's more fun. But yes, I it's normally what I do. When I see a game that I like, I look at the reviews on like whatever site that I'm going to buy it off, so normally Steam. And then I normally go on YouTube and type in so Worth a Buy. I always use because he is I go by IGN and Before You Buy, because I respect like the structure that they do it, and you can kind of get a good idea. But Worth a Buy, you know you're going to get honest content. You know there's going to be no sponsored, there's going to be no fucking, oh, it's good because it's this. He will fucking tell you if it's a bad game or not. I mean, look at Empire of Sin. We talked about it this week. He's the reason I didn't buy it in the first place.
Yeah.
And my God, same. Playing it, I'm like, that is, he's fucking nailed it.
What I find about him, though, is...
You would just have to say the same thing as me.
He's one way or the other, isn't he? Like, that kid is extreme. Like, he's either all in or he's all out. And he focuses on stuff which I'm like, that is not the thing to be for. I don't care.
Yeah, fucking hell. Like he likes to go on about certain stuff, like glitches or binding keys. My God, if you can't bind a key in a game, you are getting slammed.
Remnant, he went on about Remnant for a good minute or two about not being able to bind some fucking keys. Same with Outriders. Oh, because he couldn't use his key bindings. He thought in a modern game that was like a sin.
to be fair, he's got a point, but it's quite extreme. It's
2021. What? Okay.
What world are we living? Hey, but you argue, but look at Valheim. We played it because of that review, didn't we?
Because of that review.
Yeah. Because you sent it to me, and I was like, oh, I've got it on my watch later list. So I'll watch it now, and then show Pete, and bam, three of us are playing Valheim.
That's great. That's a great example then for growing the gaming industry. Like, I used to buy when I was a kid. I used to buy Nintendo Official Magazine every month, partly because you got a £5 off a game voucher, and partly because sometimes you got a demo, and other times because that was the way to get your content. Like, that was the way to get like knowledge about what was coming out on a console and to get hyped and stuff like that. Like, I used to love going on like train journeys or something, so I could buy a magazine, like a gaming magazine. I used to buy Edge just for the train when I was coming home from uni. That's how you used to do it back in the day. And then it meant more to websites for me. Like, IGN was the one I always went on, but that then diverged from games to just like every fucking thing. And it was like, okay, well, I'm not so into that. But then YouTube, like, then that kind of took over for me, because I was following YouTubers who were doing this as a side gig. It wasn't their main job. And now those same guys, Spawnwave and RG85 and all these people, beat 'em ups, that now it's their full-time job. YouTube has become a viable option, and the gaming industry is growing because of it. These guys are like, they're growing everything. Now it's, for me, I now consider it an integral part of my life, like gaming news, all that kind of stuff. Like, I love it. I absolutely love it. As much as I would love looking at football stories and on Football 365 every day and stuff like that, like, gaming is now another thing for me, and it's through YouTube channels and stuff. And I wouldn't be into gaming as much as I am now if it weren't for YouTube, I don't think.
Yeah. That's fair. And I mean, YouTube in particular, I use a lot as well, and I swear by quite a bit of it. Worth a Buy, obviously, I've used quite a lot as well. ACG is another one, Angry Centaur Gaming.
Yeah.
Again, it tends to focus on things that aren't useful sometimes. So, like, the graphics in this are terrible when it's a game like RimWorld Eddie, where you don't really care about them. Yeah. They're not a factor. He'll still do an equal element on that in his review regardless, which... sometimes not too useful, but it's always a full review. It never seems to have come from a sponsor. I think even when he gets review codes, he gives away a copy to make sure he's paid for every game. But that's their style of doing it. But it is beyond that as well, isn't it, Ben? Because I mean, I was thinking about it when you posed the question to us about this, and I watched Legend of Total War quite often.
Yeah.
And Legend of Total War, like, it used to be just a hobby for him, and now it is his full-time job. Now it is his thing.
Yes.
And most of it is saving people's disaster campaigns in one of the Total War games, you know, where it's a battle that if you lose it, it's over. And he'll win that battle for you if you haven't been able to.
Amazing.
And they're just really entertaining. Like, some of the stuff they were, I mean, most of it is cheese. Most of it is, this is how you abuse the system to get out of this horrible situation.
Do people just send him over their game files or whatever?
Yeah, they send him the game file and he fixes it for them.
Wow, awesome.
Exactly. And some of them, like one of the ones I saw recently, it took him multiple attempts and quite a few losses, which he was clearly not very happy about. But when he finally did it, you could see the elation. And you get involved in that, don't you? Which just adds the entertainment value of it.
My main thing about how the evolution, because gaming has always been that thing which is like, it's a personal hobby. Now, with online games taking over by... I know they've been around for a long time, but usually for hardcore gamers. Now online play is for general gamers. And now that that's the case, you also have that this medium like YouTube and Twitch where personalities are attached to the games now. Like, So on Twitch, I have about 8 to 10 people that I follow on Twitch, and I subscribe to a couple here and there. And these people, like, you know them. And I watch Twitch every day. And if a particular stream is on, and I know their schedules, and if a particular stream is on, like, yeah, that will be the person that I can just watch before I go to bed and fall to sleep or whatever. Then I've got people on the sofa that I can play Football Manager whilst watching or whatever. I've got one particular streamer called Squiller Killer who basically plays Dark Souls on... no damage runs, plays Dark Souls 1, 2, and 3 on no damage runs. Once he gets hit, he goes to the next game, and he has classical music going on in the background. And it's just wonderful. And he just talks, and his voice is so soothing. He's just a great guy. And it's just a wonderful time. Like, it's perfect background stuff.
I have a guy called Zealand. Ben, I'm surprised you haven't watched his stuff. He is amazing. He's Football Manager mad. Big-time Football Manager, but... I strongly recommend just go and watch one of his videos. I mean, they're brilliant because I think all of them are tips. He does. The reason why I bring this up is because he does, Pete, what you said. People send him and saves, and he goes through his team and tactics and goes, you shouldn't do this with this player. Awesome. You should do this. But my God, watch one of his videos. He's so charismatic. It's beyond belief. I mean, his voice is like deep and, oh, it's mystical. Oh.
Yeah, I know those guys. Yeah, that's like Squiller Killer. His voice is so deep and soothing. You can get lost in it. It's like it's like a sea over your ears. It's amazing.
What is happening?
Ben, I'm going to stop you right there. You, of all people, should not see the sea as a calming thing. Okay?
No, it's something that overwhelms me, Eddie. It's something that overwhelms me.
Takes over your life.
Yeah, it takes over my soul. Like, I'm just in it. But like, even some of my favourite YouTubers who I've branched out, like, this has done so much for gaming that I watch people that... I would originally watch them play games like PewDiePie, and now I watch all of their videos which aren't games because they've diversified their portfolio. They do more stuff. They do like meme videos and stuff like that. Like, they do more stuff. Like, some of these guys, that you get such a... I think when you're outside of gaming, they get such a bad rep. People like PewDiePie get such a bad rep outside of gaming. But then when you start watching PewDiePie, you start watching Jacksepticeye, you start watching Markiplier, you're like, actually, they are masters of their craft.
Yeah,
they are.
It's like I used to watch KSI or
whatever. KSI, yeah, he's KSI PewDiePie's mate. He's PewDiePie's mate.
Yeah, yeah. I think, isn't he one of the Sidemen, or is that just a mate? But anyway, I used to watch his FIFA videos. In fact, the very first video I've got of him is a review on one of the PES, like, fucking ancient games, and I've still got it. It's like 8 years ago, but My God, they are talents at their craft. Because look at what he does now. He is he's huge now.
So him and PewDiePie, like PewDiePie does his Lawai videos or whatever, where he goes through the web, it goes through his Reddit or whatever. Yeah. But KSI and him always have a back and forth. They're always like just giving each other shit and stuff, but it's all jovial. Like they're all mates. Like these top YouTubers are all mates. So I came across one. I'm now watching a guy called Cinnamon Toast Ken. He plays games, but he's also like he's mid 30s or whatever, but he does reviews of like
Don't dismiss that, Ben. We're all mid 30s.
I know.
Why would you dismiss that?
No, it's not dismissive.
He's mid 30 or whatever, but it's what?
No.
Fuck you.
I'm saying he's one of us. But he's not like down with the kids, is what I'm saying. Like he laments, looks back to how his channel blew up like in 2015. But then he's like, you know, the ebbs and flows of YouTube. It blew up in 2015 and kind of went downhill from there. But he's mates with PewDiePie, and I watch his videos for his reviews of Dr. Phil episodes. But they're just so funny. Like these guys are so talented. Now what I'm saying is that they like what they are doing for gaming, like so Phasmophobia, Among Us, those two games would never have got, like Among Us was out for 2 years. Streamers started playing it, Jacksepticeye's playing it, Markiplier's playing it, every fucker's playing it, and suddenly everybody's buying Among Us. Among Us is on the Switch now. Like Phasmophobia, like as soon as, you know, everybody was playing Phasmophobia, all of the streamers that I watched were playing it, and then suddenly it sells millions of copies. They all kind of, it's like they work in like a, like once one starts playing, then they all start playing, and Valheim's been that as well. Like what they do for the industry is monumental. And Twitch, I never used to understand Twitch, because the first time I watched Twitch was when No Man's Sky came out, because I didn't have a PS4 at that particular time. I later bought a PS4 purely for No Man's Sky. I was watching this guy play on Twitch. I was like, there's this app called Twitch where I can watch people play games. That's weird, but let's do it. And I didn't really understand why it was good. A year and a half ago or something, somebody explained to me really how Twitch worked, and then suddenly now it's my Netflix. That's what I watch. If I went on now, I'd have at least five of the people that I follow, and then you get to choose what you watch, and it's just great. Like it's the content that you want all the time. And I just can't imagine the gaming landscape being where it is now. And some people listening to this might be totally alien to this, because they might not watch Twitch, they might not watch a lot of YouTube, and they'd be like, what are you talking about?
It's
blown up, I think.
I'm going to go down a different route, and not only do I watch these kind of things for enjoyment, I love watching like a RimWorld Let's Play, because you get attached to the characters, and it's great fun watching how other people do stuff. But I'm going to go down a different route, and I watch a lot of YouTube videos for advice. So I mean, I have the whole Zealand with his Football Manager ones if I'm unsure about stuff. But look at the things like J-God for Warzone. Warzone.
Yes.
And without their videos, doing the breakdown of the stats, doing the a detailed explanation of all these things, I would be shocked if all the pro gamers who play Warzone have not subscribed to J-God and all the others that do all the stats and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I have watched thousands upon thousands of hours of watching like advice videos and things like that that get me into the game. And they bring me back to games. So if I see a new RimWorld playthrough and I see it, I'll go, fuck it, click on it. And it will make me go, I didn't know you could do that. Or, I've just remembered how good that bit was. And it brings me back to that game. So
I've got two examples.
I do as well.
Yeah, so my two are Warzone. I watch Average Dad. Average Dad, I have him on all the time, really, because he's got a schedule, basically. He's playing every day, and he plays all day. And when I started watching Average Dad and when I was playing Warzone, I got better, because I was literally just watching this guy who he says he's not very good. My God, he is. You're just learning so much by watching this guy. And he's charismatic and he's good. He's big for Facebook gaming. That's one example. The other one is on YouTube for Dark Souls. I watched Fighting Cowboy. So Fighting Cowboy, Dark Souls 1, I played Dark Souls 1 basically alongside him. I would go in, try and do an area, I'd fuck up, I'd struggle for half an hour, and then I'd say, okay, let me just see where he go. Oh, do that. Okay, stop, pause the video, do that, and then try again, do some more. I basically play alongside it, and it was such a good, enjoyable experience.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different ways that people use these mediums, but what were your examples, Pete? Sorry.
So the first one I was going to say was actually linking more to what Eddie said about going back to games. The Spiffing Brit I've mentioned a couple times.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
I love watching his videos because it was only a few weeks ago I watched him completely abuse Heroes 3. And for the record, he's not very good at Heroes 3. It's one of the few games I've seen where he clearly hasn't played much.
Mm.
But just by messing around with it, it makes you go, I want to play that again. That looks really fun. And he did really the same thing with, it was because of his video that I started playing Crusader Kings 3 when it first came out. Because I just looked at what he was doing and went, actually, this looked like it's going to be hilarious, even if it's just through exploits. Turns out it's hilarious in general, but the exploits make it even worse. And then just the levels of cheese they can bring into old games. But every time you see it, you go, I want to play that again. That looks
fun. Taking that on board as well, Pete, because I watch Spiffing Britain as well. And to take this into consideration, not only do I watch those videos, but obviously you get on this channel and you see other things and you go, I've never seen that game before. And you click on it. And because of that, I have found many games. I have found many, many games from watching YouTube videos, seeing I'm on their channel and I can see someone who's played RimWorld a lot is liking another game. He must like what I'm into. Like, I can't remember what I've got subscribed. There's this guy that is not very charismatic, but my God, I saw straight away that he has two. He plays a lot of RimWorld and he plays a lot of Warhammer 3. And I was like, well, fucking hell, this guy has my taste. And I found three games since then that have been pretty good, you know, and that's I mean, that's what's good for the gaming market. Is it's someone like me who does not like spending money has literally bought three games in the last 6 months because he's seen a guy on YouTube play them.
Just people in general, YouTube is great for that as well. Like, I follow a channel called Switch Corner, which every single week it does two sets of reviews. It does one like any price, and it does one which is games in your region for £10 or under, that are on sale at the time. So every week they'll put out a video, it'll be 10 to 15 games. And the amount of games that I have bought, I watch that video every week, and the amount of indie games that I've bought, because the Switch is just fucking chocked full of them. You don't know what to fucking buy. You don't know what to buy. Like, there's just so much shit and dross on that console. but there are gems, and he will pick them all out and tell you it's fucking £6. And you're like, yes, this is amazing. Awesome.
That's what you need, Ben, is someone telling you where to spend your money. That's what you need.
I am that guy. I need someone to hone my money, because otherwise it just gets spread too thin. It just goes on everything.
We'd noticed. But this was the other one, by the way, was Eddie, you made the point about guides and sort of learning through it. And that's actually been around for ages. And it was things like with the MMOs, you had people who guided you through it. And I know in Destiny now, I think there's a guy called Datto who does the best raiding guides for those playing Destiny. And I think it was Fat Boss and Tank Spot were the two for World of Warcraft back in the day. If you just hadn't watched their guide, there was no point even going into the fight, basically.
And
that's awesome. Like, that's such a good thing to have there. It's such a good resource for gamers, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I don't know how... I don't know how some gamers used to do it. Like, I think now things are just more accessible, and we live in a fast food culture, so I want the answer immediately, and I don't want to spend 20... Gone are the age where we get one game a year from our parents, and we have to play it to fucking death, like when we had the Game Boy or whatever, and you just... That's all you were playing. So, last year I played Link's Awakening on the Switch, and I looked up so much on how to do that game. Like... You just can't. I can't imagine how people used to play games and just battle through and just like muscle through stuff, which must have just been so not enjoyable, or have to ask their mates or get a magazine a month later to work out how to do this particular thing. Like,
I think, by the way, Ben, it's probably why I've got slightly less fond memories of Dark Souls than you do.
Yeah,
because at least at the beginning there weren't too many guides.
Yes, and so when I played, yeah, when I played it, I had YouTube to help me. I had I had basically, and I was watching enough stuff. Because one thing when you play these games and when you can't do it, whatever, you watch somebody else do it and you're like, it can be done. Yeah. Even if you haven't learnt much from their playthrough, you've just gone, look, they're just relaxed and they're just doing it. Like it's fine. And it, with Dark Souls, like games like that, if you want to know more about it, they almost rely on a community. They rely on you that you can go on YouTube. They rely on that you can get so deep on it that you'd never pick all this stuff up from actually playing the game alone. Yeah. You have like. That's we live in this age now where because of the internet, because of YouTube, because of Twitch, because of the communities being created, like you can get so invested in certain games, which you could never have done in the past. And when you're following your streamers that you love and you want to see them, you want to see them succeed. You're watching these same guys play the same game over and over again, and it's just so. So enjoyable. Like I watch Anthony Caliber, who plays The Last of Us 2 RPG. Like he does speedruns of that, and that's all he does. It's his job, and he's doing that day in, day out. But it's so enjoyable to see him do that, to succeed, to get better at it. It's just, and I'm in that community. I'm a guy that will always watch him and will. Just be part of it. Like it's you've said it before, Pete, it's that immersion, it's the world immersion. Like it's not just immersion in a game, it's almost immersing you in your life in the game or in video games. Like
exactly,
it's great that video games can be part of more than, because sometimes you don't even want to play a game, you don't want, but you can still be part of it.
And I think now's the time to bring in the elephant in the room a little bit as well, isn't it? Because I think this is where esports is as well.
Esports, I think, could be huge.
I think it's the level up. I think it's the next step for it in terms of things like immersion and in terms of it being a major part of life or becoming more of a major part of life. It's things like esports are where it's really going to go, because you're talking there about following someone's progression as they go through. That's exactly what you do with esports, isn't it? And when they win tournaments... Yeah. In theory, at least, you're going to have a vested interest in your team.
Yeah. Could you imagine, like, you know, Mason Greenwood bursting on the scene as a United fan, and you go, oh, that's awesome. But then in the same breath, you could be talking about this esports guy who's playing League. Like, but you watch League of Legends every Sunday night on a Twitch channel or something. I don't do that. I don't watch competitive esports at the moment. I'm not into the esports scene. I'd love to be, because Eddie, we've spoken about it at length before, like how much it takes you. Like it's like, wow, this cool.
Well,
like,
so I've watched a few of the esports on Rocket League when waiting for you guys occasionally. And that is always entertaining. Like
they are talented. Oh,
it's
my
just
God.
Like what you mean, isn't it? Yeah.
But they are so good.
They are amazing.
And it
the best
shows
people
you the
on,
limits.
The best people on Rocket League are just like, I mean, I think Eddie's good.
Eddie's very good, but do you see their level as well?
To put it into perspective, I decided this week, because it's been a slow working week, to do solos and see what rank I got. And I got Diamond 3, which, you know, I looked up as quite high. But here's the thing. So I won every game in the ranked. I played one game in Diamond 3 and I got fucking dicked. Absolutely dicked. But I'm talking about, you know, when they dribble up the wall, then they fly, and then they hit it four times while they're in the air.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's ridiculous. How many hours have you put into that to be able to
And they still land the right way up.
They land the right way up anyway. And they also get the rebound. Yeah, fucking hell. Yeah, Jesus Christ. And you're just happy that you hit the thing. Yeah, they are immense.
Yeah, I mean, games like that do have, like, the ceiling of skill on Rocket League is...
Oh, yeah.
Is so... Distant. Like, if you played a really good guy at FIFA, like, who was epic at FIFA, you could still, like... I mean, you'd get dicked all over, but you'd still be able to play the game.
Yeah.
But... Yeah. Because you've got the ball some of the time. But exactly, on Rocket League, no. Like, against the top... No.
But this is, I think, the thing as well, is because a lot of what we're talking about here is you're seeing the possibilities in all these games.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned on YouTube with the Spiffing Brit or Legend, they're abusing the game to show you just how far you can take it. And then you look at things like Rocket League and you're seeing just how good the best people are. And we only get that through these channels and through esports.
Yes.
That's where we get that. That's where you see the real levels of ability.
I think you're right. Esports is like, I'd like to just have a little fast forward to the future, 10 years, just to have a little look, just to go, is esports actually a thing? Like, yeah. Is that going to be on Sky Sports? Is that going to, is that genuinely going to be a thing? I don't know. Maybe 10 years is too soon, and maybe it won't ever get there. But yeah. For the moment, like, that is the next level. But at the moment, yeah. we've got things like Twitch, and we've got people making a living out of playing and being entertaining, and people subscribing and giving them tips. Like, that's literally how they make money. You give them tips and you subscribe to them. That's it. And they genuinely make a living out of this.
Yeah.
It's amazing. We are living in an age where that can happen, where people tried to grow up to be professional YouTubers. Like, that's
a sad way of looking at it, but yeah, I see your point.
But they tried to do it, and video games is one area which is flourishing under this new social media driven society.
Oh yeah,
hugely so.
And but it's one aspect of social media which I don't get behind social media in general, but it's one aspect that I am all in on. yes, my main form of entertainment.
Mm. Well, I think actually after everything you said, I need to go and try Twitch at some point, because I've literally never checked it out.
Oh man, you just need to put it, over time you just build up this massive catalogue of people that you follow, like over time when you I could log on now, there will always be a couple of people that I follow playing games that I like and personalities that I like these people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird time. It's a weird time where you feel almost like to a level where you know people and they know nothing about you. Previous years they used to call that stalkers, but not anymore.
Well,
not
on anymore, that, baby. On that positive note, do you want to tell people how they can stalk us, Ben?
Yes.
How many ads are they going to be today?
Right, I need to populate this at the bottom of every doc. You need to put this on the standard doc. If you would like to contact us, you can email us.
Ben, stop podcast. Reading. Listen to you. You sound like, come on. We want people to contact us. It's not the end of a show. It's come on.
Pete's right. No, and Pete's done it wrong. It's grumpygamers.co.uk. It's podcast at grumpygamers.co.uk. That's our email address. That's our email address. And yeah, we did get an email the other week, which was great. Our Twitter is at grumpygamerspod. Now, the Twitter, I am going to put a bit more effort into the Twitter, because I started off putting in a bit of effort. We got a few followers and I was like, this is great. I've done nothing with it. So I need to actually put some effort, but I'm gonna make it my thing to, over the next couple of weeks, start to build up this Twitter again. So yeah, follow us on at grumpygamerspod and we will get some content up there and we'll start to do some stuff. So that'll be good. Fantastic. But yeah, any questions, podcast at grumpygamers.co.uk, email in and we'll take a look. Any suggestions as well for features? I mean, that's we're always looking for new features to talk about. Usually it's quite topical. Otherwise we come up with something to talk about, which hopefully is quite interesting. But if you come up with anything, then just send it in.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. But for this week, it's GG.
GG.
GG.